Okay. Chazal ask on the first pasuk in this week's Sedra, Vayidabar Hashem el Moshe Bahar Sinai Lemor. God is now going to give the mitzvahs of Shemitah, the sabbatical year, every seventh year, and the mitzvah of Yovel, the jubilee year at the end of 50 years. And it says specifically that these were given at Har Sinai. And Chazal say all the Torah was given at Har Sinai. Why over here does it specifically mention Ma'inyan Shemitah Etzel Har Sinai? Why by the laws of Shemitah does it mention Har Sinai specifically? And the rabbis give their answer. The Kli Yakar says an interesting observation to answer this question. He says like this, Ma'inyan Shemitah Etzel Har Sinai? Why does the Torah mention Har Sinai by Shemitah? Korov l'shmoa, he says it's something that seems possible to say and to hear, an additional explanation of this connection. K'sha'ola Moshe al Har Sinai, achar shiva shavuol, shesofri Yisrael mem tes yom, min Pesach v'yaratzeres, when Moshe Rabbeinu ascended to Har Sinai to get the Torah, after the Jews counted 7 weeks, 49 days, on the 50th day, Niskadesh Oz Oso Ahar. On that 50th day, when the Torah was given, the mountain, the Har Sinai, became sanctified. The Neser Bezriya V'Charisha B'Yom Chamishim Shabo. And the mountain itself became sanctified, and therefore you couldn't plant or plow or harvest anything on the mountain. The mountain was holy. Shabo Nitna HaTorah. And that day, the shofar blew, and there was freedom proclaimed. How so? V'chofshi kol Yisrael cheirus al aluchos, because the Torah brought freedom to a person. Real freedom is being totally immersed in the Torah. So when the Torah was given, right, chorus al aluchos, al tikre chorus al cheirus, Jews were freed. Right, there was freedom declared, and it was done through the shofar, shel matan Torah, and that was the giving of the Torah. So ba'oso zman hikan HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe inyan HaShemitah V'HaYovel. That same time, God said, "I'm going to give you a remembrance of this throughout history. This day that you counted 7 weeks, 49 days to reach, where the mountain became holy." And all of its, all of the foliage on the mountain became holy. I'm going to give you something to remember this with. Sheba mispar shiva uva mispar memtes ani nosen kedusha zu lechol eretz Yisrael. Through the counting of 7 years, and then 49 years, I'm going to, at the end of every 7 years and the end of the 49 years, give the same holiness that this mountain has now to the entire land of Israel. Sheyesh lo dimyon v'yachasim Har Sinai mitzad heyos avira demachim. Because just like Har Sinai is the place where God's presence devolved, and because of that the Torah was given there, so too Eretz Yisrael, the atmosphere in Eretz Yisrael, makes a person wise in Torah. Ve'ein Torah to ketoras Eretz Yisrael. There's no Torah like the Torah of Eretz Yisrael ke'har Sinai. Just like the Torah was at its peak at Har Sinai, it's at its peak in Eretz Yisrael. Al kein roi liten gam la'oretz ahi kedushas Har Sinai achar mispar memtes shana v'cheme mispar zayin. And therefore it's proper, the God said, to give the whole land of Israel the same holiness as Mount Sinai got when the Torah was given, and with the same sequence every 7 years, every 49 years, there's a Shemitah every 7 years, a Yovel at 50 years to remind you and to pattern itself after the 7 weeks and the 49 days of that led up to receiving the Torah. That's it. And that's why in that Yovel, right, there's a remembrance to Har Sinai. What happened to Har Sinai? The people went free. There was a blowing of the shofar, right? And therefore, what's it called? On the Yovel, we blow shofar. And all the slaves go free. There's freedom. And that's why Yovel is a remembrance to Maimed Har Sinai. And the whole Eretz Yisrael on Yovel gets the Kedusha that Har Sinai had. All of the crops of Eretz Yisrael become holy, just like on Har Sinai the foliage became holy, the mountain became holy on the day the Torah was given. That is the Kli Ocher. Very interesting idea. There's only one problem. I understand why the 50th year, that it gets the holiness of the mountain, and there is freedom, and there's it's parallel and and reminiscent of the giving of the Torah. That's Yovel. But what happened every 7 years? Why every 7 years does Eretz Yisrael get holiness? Right? We counted 7 weeks to giving of the Torah, but nothing happened each of those weeks. What happened happened at the end on the 50th day. At the end of all 7 weeks, nothing special happened, l'chora, each week at a time. So why does Eretz Yisrael get the Kedusha of Har Sinai every 7 years? It should get it once every 50 years. That's the question. I hold the questions to the end. And so, therefore I want to say the following. When we counted Sfira, we really accomplished two things. And in the giving of the Torah, there are two parts to it. We counted 7 days a week at a time. Okay, 7 weeks. That's one part of the mitzvah of Sfiras HaOmer. Count the weeks. And then there's a separate mitzvah to count the days. Counting the days was more of a exercise in anticipating, anxiously longing for, and awaiting the giving of the Torah. I'm counting anxiously the days till the 50th day, on which the Torah is going to be given. So that was one aspect of the counting of the Omer, to anticipate, long, aspire towards the day that God would descend on Har Sinai and sanctify the mountain and give us the Torah on that sanctified mountain. Okay. There was a second aspect, though. Not merely anticipating, longing, and aspiring towards that goal, but actively doing what we had to do to purify ourselves to be able to merit having God come down and sanctify the mountain and give us the Torah. So each week, right, we purified ourselves. Purification usually goes in periods of 7 days. Shiva Nikiyim, 7 clean days that a woman needs to purify herself. We had 7 of those units. 7 periods of purification. That was the part we did to be fit to get the Torah. We purified ourselves 7 weeks, 7 days of purification 7 times. So the counting of the weeks was our part in preparing ourselves to be ready for the giving of the Torah, and counting the days was anticipating and longing and aspiring towards God's part of actually coming down on Har Sinai, Kibiyachol, and giving us the Torah. So the counting of the days corresponds to God's part of sanctifying us with the giving of the Torah and sanctifying the mountain. And the counting of the weeks, every 7 days, right, corresponded to the period of purification that we went through, that we should be able to be fit to get the Torah after 7 periods of 7-day purification. Okay. This corresponds all to Eretz Yisrael. Just like the Kli Ocher says that the holiness of Har Sinai corresponds during Shemitah and Yovel to the holiness of Eretz Yisrael that pervades the entire Eretz Yisrael, becomes like the mountain on the 7th year and the 50th year. There's two aspects to Eretz Yisrael also. On the one hand, Eretz Yisrael is Kodesh. God made it holy. When he created the world, it's the holy land. And being there is like having a share in the world to come, the rabbis say. And the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael makes a person wise in Torah, and it gives a person a certain extra purity, and the tremendous milas of living in Eretz Yisrael and being in that kiddush of Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael sanctifies and elevates the Jewish people. But there's a second aspect. The Jewish people sanctify and elevate the land of Israel. By us living there, right, we make Eretz Yisrael more holy than it would have been if we're not there. Eretz Yisrael has an intrinsic holiness that has nothing to do with the Jewish people. it's Eretz HaKodesh, right? Eretz HaChayim, there's all many different names to it. But it's also called Eretz Yisrael when the Jewish people are there. When we are connected to the land and we own it, that didn't happen until we conquered it the first time. It wasn't Eretz Yisrael, it was Eretz Canaan. It had certain holiness, but it didn't have the holiness that what you planted there had the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael applied to it. When do the mitzvahs of Eretz Yisrael apply to the produce of Eretz Yisrael? When it's called Eretz Yisrael, says the Rambam. How does it become Eretz Yisrael? Either the Jews conquer it, or they somehow acquire it, and it becomes theirs, and it's connected to the Jewish people. And the connection to the Jewish people elevates the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, and makes it more holy, vis-a-vis things that you plant there, or whatever, become trumas and maisris, and other halachas of the mitzvahs that depend on agriculture, whatever. But that's only when the land is connected to the Jewish people. It's Eretz Yisrael. In addition, there's even some mitzvahs that just our connection to the land is not enough to sanctify the land for those mitzvahs. Those mitzvahs don't take effect until most Jews are actually living in Eretz Yisrael. And in the place where their permanent nachla, their permanent place is in Eretz Yisrael. Right? Every shevet, every tribe has its specific place in Eretz Yisrael, right? Where it has its nachala, what it gives over to future generations, right? Its homestead. So until all Jews or most Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, the place where they are, certain mitzvahs don't apply, including Shemitah and Yovel. They don't apply from the Torah, and it could be Truma also. Doesn't apply from the Torah unless most Jews live in Eretz Yisrael. Otherwise, only rabbinic. So we see that there's a symbiotic relationship between Eretz Yisrael and the Jewish people. On the one hand, Eretz Yisrael has a certain innate kedusha that influences and affects the Jewish people. And Klal Yisrael add to that kedusha and elevate the sanctity of Eretz Yisrael by living here and by having a connection to the land. And by being the kind of people that can elevate, by purifying ourselves and learning Torah in Eretz Yisrael, we raise the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. So again, it's a symbiotic relationship. The land sanctifies us, and we sanctify the land. Okay. And therefore, I wanted to explain the following. Just like when we received the Torah, there were two parts. There was God's part of sanctifying us with actually giving us the Torah, coming down on Har Sinai and sanctifying the mountain and giving us the Torah. But there was also our part in causing that. We sanctified ourselves, and in that way we became fit for God to come down and give us the Torah and to receive the Torah. Yovel is a reminder of the 50th day when God himself sanctified the mountain and gave us the Torah. And therefore Yovel represents the giving of the Torah. Yovel is what's it called, when is Yovel start? Not on Rosh Hashanah. It starts on Yom Kippur. When do we blow the shofar of Yovel? On Yom Kippur of Yovel. Because the truth is that when did we actually get the Luchos? Not on Vav Sivan, because they were broken on Shivasar Batamos. When did we re-receive the tablets? On Yom Kippur. So therefore, Yovel, which corresponds to the day that God gave us the Torah and sanctified that mountain, ultimately was Yom Kippur. And that's why the shofar is blown on Yom Kippur of Yovel, just like we do it every year on Rosh Hashanah. It's blown on Yom Kippur also during Yovel, because the shofar was blown when we got the Torah. Shofar represented God's presence being on the mountain. That was what the shofar represents. That's why we blow the shofar at the end of Yom Kippur, to signify that God's presence is leaving. We're accompanying God's presence with the blowing of the shofar. But the blowing of the shofar represents that God's presence is there. And and that's why we let all the slaves go free, and there's freedom, because freedom was achieved when the Torah was given. Freedom is a result of having the Torah. So that's what Yovel represents. However, every 7 years, Eretz Yisrael also gets that holiness of Har Sinai, because there was another aspect of what made Har Sinai ultimately holy was us being holy. This, every 7 days, we had another period of purification, which ultimately helped to sanctify that mountain. So therefore, every 7 years, Eretz Yisrael also becomes holy, not because of what God made the Har Sinai holy at the end of the 50 days, but what we contributed to towards that holiness by purifying ourselves. Because we enabled God, Kibiyachol, to give the Torah by being people who were fit to get the Torah, pure. So we had to purify ourselves to come to the 49th level of Tahara, and we did that through 7 periods of 7 days of purification. And that is the Kedusha of Shemitah. The Shemitah shows our part, and the Yovel shows God's part. Now it's interesting that based on what I've just told you now, we can understand the difference between how the Torah describes the same things that are prohibited during Shemitah and Yovel, but it describes them differently. For instance, let's see how Shemitah is. It says, Uvashono hashviis, Shabbos Shabbos on Yila Oretz. It's a Shabbos for the land, Shabbos Lashem. Sodecha, your field, lo sizra, don't plant your field. Karmecha lo sizmar, don't prune your vineyard. Esfiach kitzircha, right, lo siktzor, don't harvest normally your harvest. Es inve nizirecha, lo siktzor. What do you see here? It all is focused on you. Your field, your harvest, or whatever. What you're doing. You have to sanctify yourself in how you function with the land. It's you, how you function, how you affect the land. And it's in the singular. Singular. Every person has to do this on their own. It's a collective effort, but it's an effort of each person sanctifying themselves. Each person has to sanctify himself, and through the sanctification of all the individuals comes the sanctification of the tzibur. But it's a very individual thing, and the main emphasis is on you, your field, your harvest, and so on. Now listen, in Yovel, the same thing, only it's phrased differently. It says, Yovel hi, this 50th year is Yovel, Shnasa chamishim shana, tiyelochem, lo sizra'u velo siktzeru esefichecha. Don't let it be planted, and don't harvest its, the land's, produce, velo siktzeru es nizireha. It's all going on the land, not your. Not your field, your vineyard, your harvest, but the land's harvest, the land's whatever. Here, the emphasis is on the land, not you, not what you're doing, but what the result is to the land. And also, it's in the plural. It's not in the singular. Why? Because like we said, Shemitah emphasizes our part in sanctifying the mountain in order for the Torah to be given. Our purification process. It's an individual thing. Everybody has to do it on their own. And collectively we work together, but it's an individual thing. And the main emphasis on what you're doing. That's why Shemitah, which corresponds to that, represents that. It's our sanctifying the land through fulfilling the mitzvahs that we have to do. Yovel represents God's part. After we sanctified ourselves, God elevated that and gave us a Torah and sanctified the mountain from his side. And that Yovel represents. Yovel represents how the land sanctifies us. And therefore that's done collectively. It's sanctified for all the Jewish people together, not individuals, not this part of the land has some holiness and this one. It's a totality. It's a collective thing. And therefore it's in the plural. And also, the main emphasis is not on what we're doing, but what the land is affected. So the main emphasis is nizireha, svicheha, its harvest, its thing, not your harvest, but its harvest, how the land is affected. Okay. And that's why by keeping Shemitah, which is the 7 years, which is our part, where we sanctify Eretz Yisrael, it says that normally people have to rotate the crops. You can't plant 6 years in a row the same thing. It takes out the nutrients from the land. But if you keep Shemitah, you strengthen the land where you can plant for 6 years and you'll be able to do it. All you have to do is keep 1 year of Shemitah. So Shemitah elevates the power of the land. That's exactly, we sanctify the land. That's what Shemitah is. Yovel is the land sanctifies us. Okay. And that's why the main thing of Shemitah is that we keep it and we understand the lesson of what Shemitah is, that the land is God's land. And by keeping what we're supposed to be keeping in Eretz Yisrael, we sanctify the land and elevate it to be able to fulfill its purpose. And that's the idea. It says, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, right, the Shav Saharis, the land should have a Shabbos, and then it says count 6 years and make Shemitah. It's in the wrong order. We didn't come to Eretz Yisrael and make a Shemitah. We came to Eretz Yisrael and we started to count 6 years, and the seventh year we made Shemitah. Why does it put the Shemitah before? So Mefarshim explained, because when you come to Eretz Yisrael, you should anticipate already that you're going to have to keep Shemitah. This land is not yours. You were given a mandate to act in this land properly and understand that it's God's land and you have to act accordingly and sanctify everything you do. And therefore, with the understanding that in the end you're going to keep Shemitah, when you plant the first 6 years, you do it as subservient to God, as wanting to sanctify this land. So therefore, you, when you come, anticipate what's going to be, and when you function the 6 years, Sheish Shonim Tizra, do it with Shemitah in mind, do it with the understanding that you're doing it in God's land, and you're elevating that land. You're, by fulfilling the purpose of the land, what's the purpose of Eretz Yisrael? That we should be able to create a holy society where every aspect of life is sanctified, because we're doing it in Eretz Yisrael. We sanctify every aspect of life. That's what the Omer is all about. The Omer, right, was that before you can eat the new crop, bring it as a sacrifice to God, so you'll understand that you have to elevate everything in service of God, even what you eat, even your own food. You have to elevate in service of God. So same thing with Shemitah. 6 years you'll plant, but if you know that the seventh year, by your doing it properly, you're going to elevate and sanctify the land, you'll do it differently. That's why the Sfasemis says the word, Sheish Shonim Tizra, 6 years you should plant. The last letters of those three words is Shema. Sheish, Shin, Shonim, Mem, Tizra, Ayin. Shema. Shema means Kabbalas Omach Hushamayim. You accept the yoke of God's kingdom, the Shema Yisrael. But Lechora, that should be a hint in the seventh year, when you keep Shemitah, not in the 6 years that you're planting. But you see from there that the main purpose of Shemitah is not for the seventh year. The main purpose is that you should learn from the concept of the seventh year that Eretz Yisrael is holy, that you have to do things that fit that holiness and use that holiness properly. So the main idea of Shemitah is not for the Shemitah year. It's how it impacts and influences what you do the other 6 years. And therefore, there's a concept of Shabbos before the 6 days and Shabbos as a culmination of the 6 days. Every Shabbos, right, has two aspects to it. It's the seventh day, okay, but it also is the day before the 6 days. The idea being, it says that when God created the world, he created it to exist for 6 days. It needs to have its battery recharged every 7 days, and the charger is Shabbos. So Shabbos gives the world a chance to exist another 6 days. So the power of those 6 days come from the previous Shabbos. And that's why Shabbos is called Mekor HaBaracha. Everything that's going to happen during the 6 days has its source in the Shabbos before. That's why the Maral says every significant occurrence during the week, we celebrate already the Shabbos before it. A wedding, an ufruf, the Shabbos before. A bris, a shalom zocher, the Shabbos before. Pesach, Shabbos HaGadol, the Shabbos before. Yom Kippur, Shabbos before, Shabbos Shuvah. Every significant occurrence that can happen during the week, Already the Shabbos before has in it the power, because those 6 days come from that Shabbos. So we see that Shabbos is not only the end of the week, the culmination, like Olam Haba that follows the 6 days of creation comes the spiritual world, Olam Haba. So Shabbos is the culmination, it's also the beginning, it's also the preface. Both aspects are there by Shabbos. In fact, the Gemara says that if somebody's lost in the desert and he loses track of time, he doesn't know what day really it is. So there's two opinions what he does. One opinion says that he makes the immediate coming day Shabbos, pretends it's Shabbos, and then counts 6 days and keeps another Shabbos until he finds out when Shabbos really is. He should keep this up to keep a semblance of Shabbos. The other opinion says no. The day that he realizes he doesn't know what day it is, he makes that coming day Sunday. And then he counts 6 days and may keep Shabbos on the seventh day. The question is, do you keep Shabbos right away or you keep Shabbos after 6 days? The Gemara says, what's the logic behind this argument? One looks at it from God's standpoint. From God's standpoint, there were 6 days, then Shabbos. But from man's standpoint, man was created on Friday. The first full day he had was Shabbos. Shabbos preceded the 6 days. So from man's standpoint, Shabbos precedes the 6 days and teaches me how to use those 6 days properly. From God's standpoint, Shabbos is the culmination, is the Olam Haba that God gives us after the 6 days that we're here in the world. So, same idea. Shemitah is the Shabbos before the 6 days. Even though we didn't keep it till after, but really, the idea we had to have in mind that when we planted and plowed and used the land, we used it with a Shemitah in mind. It taught us how to use the world properly, how to live in Eretz Yisrael properly, and therefore how to sanctify it more than it was by what we do. Yovel is the idea of the culmination, what God does. God gives us Olam Haba, the world to come, right? Commensurate to what we did. But that's God's part now. That's like the 50th day where God gave us the Torah and he sanctified the mountain. And the same thing of what's it called of Yovel, where it's what God does. Therefore, Shemitah, every Shemitah year starts on Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the judgment of every individual, what we do. But Yovel is on Yom Kippur. That's God. God is Mikveh Yisrael. God is the ultimate mikveh who purifies us and forgives us on Yom Kippur. That's God's doing. Okay. And therefore, Shemitah is an individual thing. And Yovel is more of a collective thing. And that's what it says. Why is Shemitah connected to Har Sinai, what Chazal say? Because Shemitah, klaloseha uprotoseha mi-Sinai. Just like Shemitah, the generalities of Shemitah and the specifics were given at Sinai, so too all the mitzvahs have generalities and specifics. What's that mean, generalities and specifics? The specifics are what we have to do. The specific details of the mitzvahs that we do that affect us. And how we affect the land by keeping the mitzvahs or whatever. Our holiness, the land's holiness, and so on. The klal is, after we do everything we have to do, God gives us the concept of the mitzvah, the kedusha that comes to the mitzvah. That's the generality of the mitzvah. That is something that transcends all the details. The details are to get to that, what's it called, mood and environment and what God is going to provide. Right, the details are all the mitzvahs, the environment is Olam Haba that's going to come from it. So the klal of the mitzvahs is the Olam Haba. Every mitzvah is a revelation of Olam Haba, a manifestation of Olam Haba. Right, eternal life is hidden in that mitzvah. But the details of the mitzvah, what we do to get that eternal life, how we sanctify ourselves, same thing. We counted the days, anticipating that ultimate giving of the Torah. But we counted the weeks in preparing ourselves with all the details of how to be fit to get the Torah. So it all works together. And that's why the counting of the days is preceded with the giving of the Omer. The Omer is the idea of taking all mundane things, even mundane food, and sanctifying it to God by bringing a sacrifice and showing that I have to direct my even mundane eating towards God. But once you do that and you reach the culmination, right, so then you bring the Shtei Alechem. The Shtei Alechem are the two loaves of bread, right, that you brought on Shavuos that represented the two Luchos. And they're, what's it called, they permitted now to bring the grain as sacrifices, as meal offerings. Not your own personal thing. That's God's holiness. Now you're talking about God's realm. So you start off with your realm. You sanctify. And then it ends with God making that ultimate sanctification and you just subjugating and handing over everything to God. That's the Shtei Alechem and the therefore it could be, in counting the days, we say La Omer. That version. It's all built on the Omer. But in counting the weeks, right, counting the weeks is La Omer. Because there it's all a continuation of what we do to sanctify our mundane things. But when you're counting the days, when we're looking for the culmination of what God's going to do and give us the Torah and sanctify us, that's Ba'omer. That's in this period of the totality of the Omer. It's not building up from the Omer, it's within that period, building towards the end. And that's why the same sentence that applies to keeping Shemitah applies to Matan Torah. It says, Gibore Koach Osim Devoro, Lishmoa Lekol Devoro, Nasa Venishma. It says that what's it called? The men of strength who do what they're supposed to and listen. So we did before we listened. Okay? That applies to the giving of the Torah. That same pasuk, Chazal say, applies to people who keep Shemitah. They have tremendous valor and strength to be able to one whole year not plow and plant and not treat the land as if it's theirs. That takes tremendous power, but there's a connection between them because keeping Shemitah and getting the Torah, like the Kli Yakar says, were parallel because every Shemitah and every Yovel is a throwback and a parallel to the regiving of the Torah. Just like Har Sinai became holy, every 7 years Eretz Yisrael becomes holy like Har Sinai, and every 50 years it becomes holy like Har Sinai. But like we said, the 7 year holiness is the holiness that we provide, and the 50 year holiness is the holiness that God provides. And really both of them go together, just like we sanctify the land sanctifies us, and it's a symbiotic relationship. Shemitah represents our contribution. Yovel represents God's contribution. Exactly like Sfiras HaOmer, what also is two. Our contribution of counting the weeks and purifying ourselves, and God's contribution of finishing off the 50 days where He sanctified the mountain and He gave us the Torah, and we were the object and the recipients, not the subject and the active part. We were the passive part. But the weeks, we were active. We actively purified ourselves to make ourselves fit for God then to take His active part and make us the passive part and gave us the Torah. And we were the receivers and God was the giver. But up until that point, we were giving ourselves the holiness that we needed by purifying ourselves. We were doing the active part. The weeks are our active part. The days are God's active part. That's the connection, I think. Okay. Any questions on this now?
Yes.
Yes.
Do they also count the
Omer? Yeah, sure.
They become also as holy as us. And there are more people that are like about Shem Tov and
there are many tzaddikim
that are
wise
and full of wisdom, and
most of them
the ones
right,
here.
True. The Torah is not limited to Eretz Yisrael. Torah applies everywhere. But the full thrust of the mitzvahs and the full thrust of Torah was meant for Eretz Yisrael. And therefore, had the Chofetz Chaim been in Eretz Yisrael or whatever, he would have been even a higher level. It would have added. The Torah is not limited to Eretz Yisrael, but the Torah is enhanced and reaches its full potential only in Eretz Yisrael. Okay. Yeah.
Is there a reason why the days are the ones that are considered us counting for God's part and the weeks are for our part? Because it just seems like...
Yeah, because the weeks... What's the significance of counting weeks? Right? The significance is that weeks are a 7-day period, and seven is the number of purification. Whenever a person's tamei, they need 7 clean days to become tar, whether it's a mitzora or a zava or a zav or a nida or whatever. The purification time is 7 days. Mm-hmm. So there's a significance in counting 7-day periods as being, what's it called, 7-day units of being purification. That's why it's our part. The 50 days, what are we counting for? The 50th day, God's going to give us a Torah. So we're counting towards that final 50 days, 49 days, that's counting up towards God's part, right? Where he'll eventually give us a Torah, but we're anticipating it and longing for it and aspiring towards it or whatever.